What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome to the show. We've got a guest to come on to give us some fresh perspective. You've heard Heath, Dave, and Jamie talk about Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Cortland Sutton, etc., Carson Wentz. Now we're going to hear from the all-in kid, Jake Seely of The Athletic, joining us on Fantasy Football Today. I'm going to make Heath tell us why he likes Mike Williams so much. We're going to argue about it. We're going to talk about full season numbers versus 11 games and, you know, sample sizes and all that. Looking forward to that.
These are stats.
Mike Williams stats is what they are. Welcome, Jake Seely. What's up, buddy?
I appreciate the invite. It's been too long. I almost said the song again that we were joking about before we came on the show.
Yeah,
but
it's been a while. Yeah, there you go. Dave, who's saying, it's been a while?
I've heard that song 100 times on the radio. I don't think I know who.
Okay, we'll give you three choices. Is it A, Puddle of Mud, B, Creed, C, Stained?
I was going to say Creed, so let's go with Creed.
Oh, why does
everybody sit? Everybody says Creed, Adam. Everybody thinks it's Creed.
Come on, it's Stained with no E. S-T-A-I-N-D, Stained, Dave. Oh, come on. Anyway, we'll talk fantasy football today and talk about the biggest winners and losers of the week. And also look ahead to free agency, favorite destinations. Jake's going to give us his favorite destinations for some free agent running backs and things like that. And we have some news and notes to get to as well. Jake, who is your biggest winner of the NFL offseason so far? So we're talking about, you know, Amari Cooper left, maybe it's CeeDee Lamb. Obviously the Russell Wilson trade, maybe it's Sutton or Judy, whoever. Maybe it's McLaurin, whatever you think. Who's the biggest winner right now thus far?
So the overarching is the Broncos as a whole. I mean, obviously, I think most everybody would agree with that. I think we could say arrow pointing up for Sutton, for Judy, for Okwuebunam, or Okwuebunam, however the hell you say his last name. Albert O, everybody. Did I get it right at the second time?
Okwuebunam.
Okwuebunam. I don't think the ooh is
Okwuebunam. It's only four syllables. Yeah, so there you go.
I will say this.
He's not my pick because I think he's already being overrated. By the way, I know this isn't a Dynasty show, but if everybody's out there in Dynasty, sell high right now because what's the target share going to be for him? Like, what, 10, 11%? So let's chill out. Yes, it's exciting. Yes, he can be at the back end maybe of a tight end one. But I think the real potential winner here, if we're going off last season, it would be Cortland Sutton for bouncing back of what we expect Cortland Sutton to be. But if you look at profiles and you're saying, where's that connection, that similarity for what worked with Russell Wilson and his style of play? I think Judy gets the bigger edge win-wise. I think you can see both of them in the same range as in mid-teens, maybe low 20s wide receivers, like say so 15 to 20, 22, and they have similar numbers. But if you're looking for the one that becomes the new Tyler Lockett, it was that connection that you had with Russell Wilson, I would lean Judy. I think both are huge winners, but I would lean Judy, especially for the talent right there. And I think Sutton's going to primarily similarly have a profile kind of like DK Metcalf. So they both win. And for everybody out there, I would not say Albert O, despite his arrow going up.
All right, so just expand a little bit on that. Why do you think it's Judy? Because he's in the slot, like Lockett. What, like, what is it about the profile that makes you think he's more of a winner?
That's part of it. I do think is the style of play. The slot is greater. Sutton spends some time in the slot, but so does a lot of wide receivers at this day and age. You know, everybody's rotating through their line there and seeing different profiles. Like, basically, the NFL is copycat, and everybody's like, oh, hey, you know, let's not use one guy one way all the time and kind of get in that route. But it comes down to the skill of Judy coming out of college, period, is that, you know, Sutton is a great receiver, but Sutton does have limitations of what he can do. I think if we look at Judy coming out of college, what we thought he could be and the excitement behind Judy, it was that he can do more. He can run crisper routes. At this point, Russell Wilson still attacks downfield, which I was surprised to see. Did you know he led all quarterbacks last year in air yards per attempt? I was shocked by that for Russell Wilson. I would have never guessed he would be number one. I would have guessed with that mallet finger he was going to check in at like 10 or 12. So I think if you look at that, that's where you still see the appeal of Courtland Sutton. But I look for the separation, really. And Courtland Sutton, as good as he is, Jerry Jeudy is always, always the much better separator than Sutton is.
Mm, yeah. The way he played, it was more like Ryan mallet finger. So... You got thank you, Jake. See if you're not like conditioned to hearing these terrible jokes all the time, you know, you might laugh. So now that you've had some time to think about it, Heath, Dave, have you changed your mind at all, or where are you guys on Judy versus Sutton, Dave? Heath, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, you said Heath, Dave, and then you said
yeah. Well, there's lots of things I need to clarify here from the last couple of minutes of Jake. First off, he's laughing because he's a guest and it's polite, not because he hasn't heard these jokes in the past. Everyone's heard terrible jokes.
It was genuine.
Regularly.
It was
he's
genuine.
I love dad jokes. I'm just going to say.
Okay. That's very nice of you to say. And yes, he will have you on again in the future. I think it depends on how you want to look at the biggest winner. I agree Albert O is being overvalued. I had Albert O as the biggest winner because where was he before this trade? Where is he this trade? His value has changed as much, even if it hasn't changed as much as the public perception suggests it has. The big problem for me with Judy and Sutton, and this is like wet blanket, I know, it's Tim Patrick. He's, for some reason, gets a very similar target share to Sutton and Judy, and for some reason outperforms them. I mean, this part makes more sense probably. The defenses are paying more attention to Sutton and Judy. So I really think like we're probably not going to know until we find out who's having breakfast with Russell Wilson in training camp. And then we'll know who the favorite guy is going to be. I agree with Jake that Judy 100% has the most upside. This is kind of a Jobu year for him in terms of dynasty. Like, we're just going to leave him as a top 20 dynasty wide receiver because of his pedigree and hope that he pays off on it. And if he doesn't, he's going to fall like a crater. But I think Judy has the most upside. Sutton's right there with him. And Tim Patrick could unfortunately be the party pooper.
And now I'm here to tell you that everything can potentially change because what has happened in the past in Denver, particularly with these receivers, is in an offense that is vanilla with quarterbacks that are meh. So now we're getting a quarterback that likes to let it rip. You heard Jake say that he led the league in air yards per attempt. He's been top 10 in deep pass attempt rate each of the past three seasons. He likes to let it rip. He's looking downfield. He also doesn't really like to hit that intermediate area. We're talking 10 to 19 yards in the air. So about half of his passes last year were real short, 9 yards or closer. You see that with every quarterback in the league. But a lot of quarterbacks like to attack that middle of the field, this middle area, 10 to 19 yards. He not only didn't do it last year, he's been in the 50th percentile or lower, and in one case, dead last over the last three seasons. So that's an area that I think has been like Jerry Jeudy territory since Judy's come into the league. Judy's a slot receiver. He runs a lot of routes in that area. How often did we see Jerry Jeudy in the pros go deep downfield? Now, I mentioned it in the pros. We didn't see it that much. I don't have that right in front of me.
I think he
also hasn't played as much.
I think so. Jeudy last year,
20 plus yards downfield.
Well, I don't know that for, but his A dot as a rookie was fairly high. I'll just say this about Jeudy real quick. I'll let you finish, Dave, but,
all right.
Tyler Lockett played 37% of his slots in the snaps in the slot last year. Judy was at 75%, right around there. So he was almost exclusively a slot receiver. But if you go back to his rookie year, he started out as basically a slot receiver. And then the last 8 to 10 weeks, he was almost exclusively out wide. And, you know, the ADOT was higher and the production was up and down. But we also have a new coaching staff. So I think, like you said, we just don't we just don't know where we'll be. But he has at least shown that he can bounce around. Cortland Sutton is Jake said he does play in the slot sometimes, and he does, but he is very, very much outside almost all the time. Tim Patrick, kind of, like, I think it was about 18% in the slot. So it makes sense for Judy to be in the slot, but he has shown that he can play both in and out.
Agreed. And he did it in college. He definitely went deep a lot in college, too.
I pulled it up for you, Dave, while we were talking. Percentage of plays, receptions that went 20-plus yards. Lockett was 30% last year. Metcalf was 15%. And then Patrick led the Broncos at 18.9. 18.4 for Judy and 15.5 for Sutton.
Okay, that's interesting. And what I think is really going to be important is how the new coaching staff, and this is going to be an aggressive offense, they're going to be totally fine with Russell Wilson throwing the football. Where they are going to put Judy? How do they view Jerry Judy? Is Jerry Judy close to Tyler Lockett? I know it sounds silly because we've watched Tyler Lockett just break people's ankles, get wide open 30 yards downfield, and he catches those bombs. I've watched enough of Jerry Judy, and this is after his high ankle sprain last year, to tell you that he can do those things, maybe not quite as fast as Tyler Lockett, but still fast enough to break away from your average defensive back. I think he could end up being that guy. And the fact, Adam, that you told me that he's played outside quite a bit his rookie year, maybe the coaches will see him that way. They'll put him outside a lot more often than the prior coaching staff.
Sutton didn't play.
And that opens him up.
Sutton didn't play. I have to point that out. Sutton was out there.
Right. And so that's probably part of the reason. But if he was successful in that role, then I think he'll at least get that opportunity. Now, maybe Nathaniel Hackett's already said, yeah, we love Jerry Judy in the slot. And I've missed that. I don't know. But if they keep Judy in the slot, I think that hurts him a little bit. I think that limits him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that opens the door for Sutton and Patrick to get a wider amount of the target share in this offense. If they move Judy all around and all over the place, I think he's going to be the best receiver there. And so I'm willing to rank him slightly ahead of Sutton, and both of them maybe like a round to three rounds ahead of Patrick, but I've already fallen in love
with the idea of drafting ahead of Patrick.
Like, I don't know if I'm going to get Patrick at that point, but I'm already in love with
Patrick
the idea.
Sure.
Patrick, yes. They're going to be way ahead of Patrick.
What round are you guys thinking about drafting Judy and Sutton in?
Go ahead.
If it was today, would probably be the, I wouldn't, but I would assume it's probably like third round at this point.
Four for Judy, five for Sutton.
That's
The two things from this point forward, the Broncos head coach on this podcast will be known as Nitin Fanel Thacket. And the other thing, I don't think we should compare anyone to Tyler Lockett. As such a huge percentage of the big plays that Tyler Lockett made was after the play was already over for any other quarterback. Russell Wilson's spinning out of something and Tyler Lockett's running to the spot and he's throwing it to him.
Yeah.
And that was the reason that I felt like he would become close to DK's production. I would guess if you look at like the number of yards gained within the play, DK had a much larger share of his than Lockett. And I don't want to suppose that Judy's going to be the guy, or anybody really in this first year with Wilson is going to be the guy that has a good feel for how to do that and where to go.
Mm-hmm. I will say
we don't know that. It could very certainly be any one of these receivers.
Go to Jake
gets
here.
That
oh, with Russell, let's Russell. Go to Jake. Go to Jake. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say two things. I was actually, so Heath, not to like immediately come back, but I was surprised because I would assume the same thing. DK Metcalf actually had a higher yards after the catch than Tyler Lockett did last year.
Oh, I believe. I'm sorry. I meant when plays had broken down and Tyler Lockett just ran to some open part of the field 30 yards. Sure. No, I believe that.
Okay,
yeah.
So I could see, and the whole reason I drew the comparison is you're not wrong in saying that. Like, we don't know. Dave just said it. Like, we don't know. This could go any different direction. We're making assumptions on what we think Russell Wilson the fit is with these wide receivers. You know, what happens if he does eat lunch with Tim Patrick every single day and all of a sudden it's his new Cooper Cup, just as we saw with Stafford. We probably don't think that's going to happen, but I wanted to come back to something you said earlier. And the one area I do agree with you, Heath, and why I'm down on Albert O is I think that
the third option for Russ in Seattle was essentially usually the tight end, although it usually was different tight ends. Yep. Tim Patrick is worlds ahead of any third wide receiver he's had to this point. And I actually do expect this to have more three wide receiver value than two wide receivers and a tight end. And that's why the other reason I'm down on Albert. So I agree with you that Patrick is probably the value right now for where people are just kind of forgetting him because they're excited for Albert and excited for Sutton and Judy potentially being DK and Lockett.
What's easier for this Broncos coaching staff to change? How they utilize their receivers or Russell Wilson's tendencies?
There you go.
I don't think they want to change Russell Wilson's tendencies.
Right, right.
You know he's going to be a Houdini in the pocket. You know he's going to be pressured. It would have been a sack for Eli Manning. It would have been a sack and a fumble for Daniel Jones. But for Russell Wilson, he's out of there and he's making a play, an impromptu play downfield.
And if I want somebody freelancing, that's the kind of thing that'll help all the receivers.
That's true.
I was going to say the freelancer should be Judy, and that's why I'm with you.
I think all three receivers could ultimately benefit from it. But I feel like if Judy, especially if he's moved around, could be the one that benefits the most, because I think he's got the most juice. I think he's the one that can separate the most, and I think the coaching staff can recognize that and use him differently than what Pat Shurmur did over the past couple of years in Denver. So there is some significant Jerry Jeudy breakout potential. I was crazy for him last year. I'm going to try my best, I promise, to not be as crazy about him this year. I've already kind of, shriveled my nose at the idea of taking him in round three, but I can't say I'm going to shrivel my nose if it's late round four and he's there. Can't say I can
do
that.
No, you shouldn't be. Look,
and this is the last thing, promise. Last thing. I love the idea of drafting Patrick and one of these other Broncos receivers.
Thanks for joining us, Jake.
Oh, come on now.
You should be excited about these guys, right? We just saw what Matthew Stafford did for Cooper Kupp. You want to go back to the Broncos. We saw what Peyton Manning did for Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius Thomas' first year with Peyton Manning was, I think, his third year of his career, just like Jerry Jeudy. And he went from 551 yards to 1,434 yards and 10 touchdowns the following year. Just want to make sure I'm right. Yeah, 2012. So, it could really make a big difference. So, Heath, is that where you're settled on right now? Judy round four, Sutton round five?
No, I don't think. I actually still have Sutton ahead of Judy right now, but I would probably take them both in round five. And I don't. It's hard to say when you take Patrick because we need to get updated ADP. I'm going to have Patrick ranked ahead of his ADP, but you don't want to take him where you have him ranked if ADP is two or three rounds later. I'm assuming that Patrick's still going to be available in the round 9 or 10 range, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And also trying to make the comparison, if people want to be down on Tim Patrick, they're going to say, well, there's never been three good options in the passing game for Seattle, but I'm hoping that Denver does what we all wanted Seattle to do and just let him cook, whatever, throw, just throw. What did I say? That in the last 7 years, I think they've never been higher than 16th or 17th in pass attempts per game, Seattle. So let him. That stat might be a little bit wrong. I might have gotten the numbers a little mixed up, but get the drift. Why? Let's have Denver be eighth in pass attempts this year. Why not? And then you could have just a huge breakout for Sutton and Judy, and then streamable for Patrick.
One last thing: has anybody done any research on Russ throwing to the running back? Because I have not even started that. I'm too engulfed in the receivers.
Percentage wise, or just in general?
Give me anything that'll make me feel better or worse about Javonte.
There's not any history of Russ throwing running backs that will make you feel better.
Carson a couple years ago.
Probably worse. He was near the bottom throwing to running back. I mean, again, last year when you could argue he didn't really have much because Carson was out for most of the year and the Rashad Penny wasn't a thing till late in the year for about 4 weeks. But I think his entire history for Russ Wilson, I think he's very rarely hit even 20%. He's usually in the teens. Sure.
37 catches in 12 games for Chris Carson in 2020. That might be the best. There. Yeah, that's pretty good. But 37 catches in 15 games for Carson the year before that. But still, I mean, look, you had great running backs.
That only changes if Hackett insists on it, which he might.
Or they throw more. They could help everybody. All right, well, that was a good discussion for Jake's biggest winner of the NFL offseason. next week, we'll be breaking down the free agency moves on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And we also have March Madness coming up, and we've got a big Hurricanes game in a few hours, Dave. So
hell yeah,
get ready for that. And we want you to compete against us in our bracket challenge. We want thousands and thousands of entries. The winner is in the podcast league. So you're going to go to cbssports.com/FFT brackets. Is that live right now? I have to check, because I haven't created the contest. Maybe Schrager did. But we're going to have...
It's live.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. cbssports.com/FFT brackets.
You should probably not make your picks yet, though.
Join that, and if you win, you're in the podcast league. It's that simple, and it'll be a lot of fun. It's free, and CBS is awesome, so play on there. All right, let's do a who would you rather have. Here we go. Guest of honor gets to go first. Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? Jake?
I will take Aaron Rodgers by a hair. I do think Russ can bounce back to that range of where Rodgers is, but my biggest concern about Russell Wilson is that he just doesn't want to run anymore. And last year's numbers were the worst of his career rushing wise, and it was his least fantasy points per game since 2016, which was a very similar season. I think he does perform better, especially if you take away the mallet finger and with the talent he now has, but unless he's getting back to 300-ish, 400 yards, maybe, but a few touchdowns. I mean, he's now lockstep with Rodgers in the rushing department. I don't know that it's really going to change, I think, at this point of his career.
That's a good point. Okay. Everybody else on Rodgers over Wilson?
I am.
Yeah, maybe by just three hairs instead of one, but yeah.
Okay.
Simpson hairs. Homer Simpson hairs.
All right, let's talk about Mike Williams. I didn't know who to compare him to that was relevant in free agency. So are you ranking Mike Williams ahead of any of the main four Denver or Seattle wide receivers? I'll actually let Heath go first here. Heath, is Mike Williams ahead of either Sutton, Judy, Lockett, or Metcalf right now?
I am the Mike Williams guy apparently now, and I'm going to Azer stat your Azer stats because you basically said he had five good games last year.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
I've got him ahead of all of the Broncos and ahead of Lockett and behind DK. But if they go into the season with Drew Lock as their quarterback, he will be ahead of – I just don't think they're going to do that. He will be ahead of all the Seahawks and the Broncos. I don't really – like, there was – his best five games or four games were at the beginning of the year, but weeks 1 through 9, the first half of the season, Mike Evans was wide receiver 15 in PPR fantasy points per game. The second half, week 10 through 18,
Mike Williams.
Yes. He was wide receiver 18. The final 6 weeks of the season, week 13 through 18, he was wide receiver 20. Like I don't see this major difference. I don't think he fell off a cliff and turned back into the guy he was in past years, and they just gave him $40 million guaranteed and $20 million a year to play with Justin Herbert in what's going to be a very high volume pass offense as the number two option or 1B option. I just don't see any way he's not getting 125, 130 targets again from Justin Herbert, and that makes him a number two wide receiver.
Jake, same question to you. Do you have him ranked ahead of any Broncos or Seahawks right now? Mike Williams.
Apparently, I'm going to steal Heath's thunder because I don't care who's at quarterback for Seattle, because the options are what I think is going to be potentially Malik Willis or a rookie quarterback over Locke. And in that case, I'm Mike Williams over everybody, because I go back to the game log on top of it. Look at Mike Williams and DK Metcalf's game logs. They're very similar. It's a roller coaster. Like, I want both of them as my wide receiver too, because I'll get 20 points as much as I'll likely get 4 or 5. That's just who they are. But if you're going to rank these on what we're going into, as he just said, Justin Herbert next year with Mike Williams, clear number two. DK with rookie slash Lockett or Locke. And then the same thing for Lockett. Lockett might not even be on that team. And then what we're just talked about ad nauseum about the Broncos wide receivers is I'm going to take Mike Williams over the entire crew, all of them.
Ooh, okay. Dave?
I don't have him over the entire crew, but I've never been a huge Michael Williams fan to begin with. I don't like the lack of consistency. We saw it at the beginning of last year. Heath touched on it when he was just on fire to begin 2021. But after that, he really fell off. There was definitely a period there where Herbert also did not do well. After the first 5 weeks of the season, he had four games with 15-plus PPR. One of them was his biggest one, was in week 18. So yeah. I'm nervous about the mistakes that he makes. Obviously, the Chargers don't care. They brought him back. If you told me that he had 120 targets in 17 games, I would tell you, yeah, it's probably right on. He should be drafted as a number two receiver. But for now, I'm going to lag on him, and could change my mind. Probably depends on what ends up shaking out with the Seattle guys.
Which of the wide receivers that we're talking about, the Seattle guys and the Broncos guys, have been or do you think will be more consistent than Mike Williams?
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance for DK to get there, even with the downgrade of quarterback. I think there's a chance for Judy and Sutton to get there with Russell Wilson.
But they haven't been. Like my DK
no,
Wilson.
Yes, it's a whole
Wait
new
a
world
second.
For them.
This is
it's
crazy.
With a good quarterback.
And that's
this
the other thing.
This is crazy.
Like,
wait a second. This bothers me because yesterday when you were comparing Logan Thomas to Albert O, your argument against Logan Thomas was that he only had one good season, and Albert O had 33 catches last year or whatever, which was more than any other two seasons in Logan Thomas's career. But you completely ignored the fact that he had a top five season, and he's a converted player who wasn't like a full-time tight end anyway. But Mike Williams, you're talking about his consistency. You're talking about 1 year of Mike Williams. So like he was awful.
That's not true at all.
No, it is true because he was awful in 2020.
Logan Thomas, we were talking about a guy who never had more than 22 catches in a season besides the one good year.
And
Mike
Williams
has a 1,000-yard year
had more
and
than
a 10-touchdown year.
He never had 50 catches in a season before last year. And after week five, he was the number 40 wide receiver in fantasy rest of season. And what happened? His ADOT went way up. First 3 weeks, he was running shorter routes and catching more passes. After that, he went back to being the number 40 wide receiver. Now he's better than that. I'm not going to say he's 40.
So the fact that you're like, I don't understand why you would hold value in this after week five.
Because his ADOT changed.
Because he showed us who he really is.
When he was a number 2 wide receiver after week 10, a number 2 wide receiver after week 13.
Per game or total?
Per game. Per game. So he had a really terrible stretch week 6 through 10.
Yeah.
He was one of the best wide receivers in football weeks 1 through 5.
If I took out Marvin Jones, where does Mike Williams rank
if you take weeks 5, 9, 11, 13 and subtract 8? Where does he end up?
Look,
you're both bringing up valid
changed.
Points.
His profile Here's changed what and he became the player that he was before.
You're not wrong there. I think everybody we're having this debate because it's an open conversation right now. I will say the one way I could change on this to come back to something with Dave was saying about DK Metcalf. I would say if Lockett gets traded and it's Metcalf blank, even if is Willis, then Metcalf is the top because we're probably walking
targets.
To 100. That's the number I was going to throw out. Wow. There you go, Dave. I was going to say 140 plus targets. And that would put Metcalf, if things stay the same, and I love, to be clear, I love Malik Willis. I was watched all the Liberty games down here in Virginia, so I am a Malik Willis stan from day. Like, don't come at me like you didn't watch the entire season and start like February. Oh, Malik Willis, shut the hell up. You weren't there in November. But I'm saying it's like he's still the raw throws. I could see 55% completion, that type of thing. But I'm okay with it if it's Metcalf and blank. If it's Metcalf and Lockett, I'm still going to have hesitancy, and I would still probably take Williams very close.
I think that it sounds like I hate Mike Williams, and I don't. I'm really just trying to have a debate here. But I don't think that we can say Mike Williams is a consistent performer, and I think if he continues to...
I don't think any of them are consistent.
Okay, good.
That was my point. It wasn't that Mike Williams is consistent. We're comparing five either previously bad or inconsistent wide receivers.
What is the difference, though? Because I know Jamie's not on the show, but he liked Mike Williams as a late-round pick. We all did. But the comparison he made was Devontae Parker was going into the last year of his deal. He had a big season. Corey Davis was going into the last year of his rookie deal. He had a big season. Mike Williams going into the last year of his rookie deal. I don't feel super confident that Mike Williams isn't going to turn back into what he was before. Have a Devontae Parker-like season. Corey Davis is a little bit different because he changed teams. But I just don't want to pay up for this outlier season when he just made so many mistakes. The contract is, I think, the biggest boosted
and
value
it's not
for him.
Just,
but
it's not just mistakes. An outlier season. It's an outlier first 5 weeks of the season.
Right.
Compare everything after week five to his entire career beforehand. And yeah, he does have a 1,000-yard season under his belt and a 10-touchdown season under his belt. And he can wipe his brow
it's
all
true.
He wants. He was never a consistent fantasy performer, which makes those years all
there
the more
There are no
baffling.
Consistent fantasy performers we're talking about in the segment.
You're kind of true
Metcalf,
on that.
Metcalf
because you look
be.
At Metcalf. No, Metcalf, he's had back-to-back years where he starts off amazing, and then he turns into dog poo. And then with Tyler Lockett, he's been the poster child for inconsistency for the last 4 years. Jeudy certainly hasn't been there. Sutton hasn't been there. So, Heath, you're absolutely right on that. These are all guys that are fairly inconsistent. I just don't know if I can gravitate toward Mike Williams outside of saying he's in the right offense, he's got a great quarterback, he's in line for 120 targets, but we can say those same things for the top two Broncos guys, and we'll see what we say about Lockett and Metcalf.
Okay, cool. All right, who would you rather have? I do feel, you know, sometimes I try to bring up an opposing viewpoint and then I end up really arguing for it, and it sounds like that's how I feel. I don't hate Mike Williams. I'm just a little worried that he's going to, you know, go Devontae Parker on us.
Last thing, right? What round on Mike Williams today?
So I would take Jeudy, and I would take Jeudy over him. I'd probably go round 5 or 6 on Mike Williams.
I'll say 6.
I'd say 5, 6. That's what I was going to say.
I was going to say 4 or 5, but okay. Like, good grief. Tell me Mike Williams has only had 5. One good season, and then I'd definitely take Jeudy over him.
He had 10 touchdowns. Yes, that was great. He had 1,000 yards. That was great. He didn't really put it together. He's had
3 seasons better than Jerry Jeudy.
That is true, but that's not how I evaluate players, especially Jerry Jeudy, who has had terrible quarterback play for each of his 2 seasons and got hurt last year. And now he has Russell Wilson, and, you know, look, I could be wrong, sure, but that whole thing is better than Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy hasn't had his career yet. His career starts now. Okay, come on.
Fair.
I don't know.
I agree. I mean, that's how we're all going to draft him and everything. That's absolutely correct.
Well, that is how we're going to draft him. would you rather have Terry McLaurin or your favorite, or Mike Williams for Heath and Jake? Terry McLaurin or Mike Williams?
Terry's easy over Mike Williams, but I would right now still lean, even as I just said, even with Lockett, I would still take DK Metcalf, because Terry McLaurin for me is, look, we all love Terry McLaurin. We love the talent. We love but look at his past 2 years, 130 plus targets, both of the seasons. Wentz, upgrade, question mark, really? Like, I know Wentz is better, but you look at the numbers. If I gave you a blank A versus B of Heineke versus Wentz last year, you wouldn't be able to guess who's who. They're that close. That's how it is. The biggest difference is Wentz has the touchdown to interception ratio. But there's actually been more aggressiveness downfield from Heineke, and they'll both be the types that, you know, when they get in the end zone, just throw it and potentially get an interception versus like Garoppolo throwing it into the ground instead. But the point being is, I don't really think Terry McLaurin's arrow's pointing up. I think he's the same. Like, yeah, he might be a little bit more efficient, but are we really going to say all of a sudden he's going to score 8 touchdowns? I don't think that's who McLaurin is. Like, I just don't see where this quarterback change moves McLaurin way up the charts. A few spots, sure, but I'd still take DK, and I'd have a long thought about, you know what? I'll say this, because Dave loves to say what round. I'll let you take Terry McLaurin and wait 2 rounds to take Mike Williams.
Okay. I don't know that we have to go any further than that, or are we good? That was a pretty good answer.
Yeah, I like McLaurin over all of them.
I also like McLaurin over all of them. I'll say round 4. I feel okay with McLaurin. And the arrow isn't pointing up, but it's not flat. I think it's like a 40-degree acute.
The treadmill's on a 3-degree incline.
When I used to go on a treadmill, that would be the incline for me. 0.3.
There you go.
Did
you say 0.3 or 3?
This is a weird one here. Michael Gallup or Devontae Smith? Who would you rather have, Michael Gallup or Devontae Smith right now?
Oh, Smith.
Smith.
I'm going to take receiver coming off an ACL, might not even play the first half of the year. Take my chance.
I assume he will, but I don't know that.
I'll take Smith, but I think he's behind like 6 of the wide receivers we've talked about so far.
Uh-huh.
That's certainly fair.
I don't know how people feel about Michael Gallup, but if he's the number 2 wide receiver, you know.
That's great. He'll be awesome around Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think Dave brings up the interesting point, though. He's the number 2, but what kind of number 2? Like, is this, as you just said, do we not see the real Michael Gallup until week 8? Do we not see the real Michael Gallup until 2023? Like, that's, we don't know for sure.
You know who the number 2 receiver is going to be in Dallas this year?
Cedric Wilson.
Dalton Schultz.
Well, there you go.
Did you know Hunter Henry had more targets than Mike Williams 2 years ago? You better hope they don't upgrade that receiving core.
They just made him $40 million guaranteed.
Bad contracts happen.
And you know what they said about him? They were like, we love him as a deep ball receiver.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah. That's all they talked about. That was the first thing they said.
I was disappointed for my Josh Palmer shares when they reassigned him. I mean, just
me too. Me too.
He is definitely going to finish as a number two receiver in an incredibly frustrating way. And Heath and I are going to have the same exact argument a year from now.
I just want to clarify, and that's like people can go ahead and wipe out a half of the good wide receivers if they want to care about consistency that much. The idea of half of the top 24 wide receivers are inconsistent, whatever that means. And I just don't care.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. No, I think it's probably, in a lot of cases, going to be a smart thing. I think there are different levels of that. You know, to me, Marvin Jones is always the poster child for this, where he just wasn't as useful as his fantasy production. But because you weren't drafting him to be a starter and you weren't starting him, I think Mike Williams will be drafted as a starter and will be started. And it's easier to deal with the lumps in three receiver leagues, I'd say, because you just have to start those guys most of the time. So... is that fair?
I think there was a good point that maybe if you're finishing as a wide receiver 30 at the end of the year and you're that inconsistent, that there's some fool's gold. But if you're finishing as a top 20 wide receiver and you're inconsistent, all that means is you won me 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I've done for the last 10 minutes is started looking at wide receivers that are free agents in 2023 to find the next Mike Williams, Devontae Parker, Corey Davis.
I will say that as you were saying that, thinking of other names, you know, Mike Williams isn't too dissimilar from like Darnell Mooney, honestly, as we're talking about it more from that up and down throughout
you
the year.
You know who's in a contract here coming up?
Darnell Mooney?
Terry McLaurin.
Oh.
Hey, we'll say this. For everybody out there, I'm not poo-pooing on Dave with this real quick, but I did an article about 5 years ago now on contract year myth. And I used, you had to play at least 25% of the snaps. No, I just, for everybody out there, I know that's not what you're saying. I wanted to clarify that, to say that, is it was legitimately a third of the players improved, a third of the players decreased, and a third of the players held the same. And the held the same was within 5% either direction of their production. So it legitimately means nothing.
Okay, I was going to do free agency, but I think I've enjoyed this. It's been a fun conversation, fun debate. Any weekend plans, Jake?
I actually going to Raleigh to see the Carolina Hurricanes. So there you go. Random.
Oh, cool.
I know.
And I think I might be going to Brooklyn to see the Miami Hurricanes if they play tomorrow night. So that'll be.
They have to win today.
And I wish I was going to New Orleans to drink Pat O'Brien Hurricanes.
Okay.
Keith, you gonna go try and watch Hurricanes? Like, I don't know. You gonna get into this conversation somehow?
Sit on the beach.
Yeah. I was trying to think. I think I'm probably going to be coaching a couple of youth basketball games with a bunch of kids that are not my son. But I don't think we're playing any. There's a lot of Hurricane teams down here playing youth basketball. I don't think we're playing any of them this weekend.
How are you at Monopoly, Jake? This came up on our last show.
Hmm. Everybody always says they rarely lose, but I rarely lose because I am the go for the corner orange and red, and I am a manipulated trader just like I am in fantasy. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Be forewarned.
I don't know what any of that means. So I'm just going to say that Jake is going to win Monopoly if we ever play together. Jake Seeley, thank you very much for coming on. Follow him at All In Kid and tell us about, you know, other podcasts, articles, and all those things.
Yeah, or The Athletic, the free agency, as you guys are doing, I have that next week, and my podcast, All In Football, which you can watch on YouTube and FTN, doing the same thing as you guys. Different days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for next week, but going to be talking free agency as much as everybody else is next week. So busy week, but a lot of fun for us.
And we hope to have you on again soon. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. No, just me. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back on Fantasy Football Today.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are back. Heath, we good?
I'm good. What do you mean?
Okay, no, I just, you know, just kind of felt like you were mad at me.
I was never mad.
How
at
is that different from any other episode that the two of you have
I have
been on
never been mad at anyone on this show today. And in the history of like actually legitimately mad over something that happened on a podcast, you have been more mad than anyone else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you like actually legitimately get mad. I remember my first year, I think before I'd ever done a football podcast, after a baseball podcast, I had gotten you so frazzled that you yelled at me for like 2 or 3 minutes after the podcast saying this can't happen in multiple obscenities. And Al Melchior was sitting there next to me and he said, you finally got done. You're out of breath. And Al said, Adam, I don't know that Heath did anything different than he normally does.
What did you do?
I just pushed your buttons in an argument to the point to where I think you said it seemed like I was trying to make you look stupid or something, which I can't imagine I would do that.
That was what? How many years ago was that?
Seven. Yeah. This is today is what?
Could have been 3 weeks.
March 10th. So 5 days from now will be my 7th year anniversary at CBS. So.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I've grown up a lot since then. So I apologize. I'm sorry.
I hope I have
that.
Too.
Our podcast has certainly grown up a lot. All right, news and notes. Green Bay franchise Devontae Adams. Seattle's releasing linebacker Bobby Wagner. Tampa Bay, this is actually something worth talking about here. Tampa Bay unlikely to re-sign either Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette, according to The Athletic. I don't know if this is a huge surprise, but, you know, Dave, give me a quick reaction to that. Going to be a new running back in Tampa Bay this year. Hopefully.
Totally not surprised by Ronald Jones being jettisoned. Little surprised by Leonard Fournette, and I think it's really bad for Leonard Fournette's fantasy value. You think about where he was in 2021. Cushy situation, three down back, getting handoffs and passes from Tom Brady, fantasy stud. Now Brady's gone. Now Fournette could be gone. Fournette could end up in a timeshare somewhere else. Definitely starting to look like one of the running backs that I will avoid on draft day.
Heath, the Panthers appear open to trading Christian McCaffrey. It's going to take a haul. But what does this do to McCaffrey's dynasty value?
I don't think anybody's going to give a large sum of draft picks for a running back that's expensive. I think 90% of the league has recognized from the failures of others that you should not give those big contracts to running backs. It's not impacting my opinion of Christian McCaffrey. Anybody who would give that type of load to take on that contract would presumably plan on giving him 400 touches per season, because otherwise why would you?
Mm-hmm. The dumbest thing in the world. The trading for him, you can't give up that much for him. But Dave Gettleman wishes he was on a team just so he could give up a first round pick to get Christian McCaffrey. Like he's screaming from the corner of a dusty OTB in New York. I'll give you one. Give him something like that.
What's an OTB?
Off track betting.
Oh,
The Giants
just seems like that's where Gettleman is these days.
Expected to pursue Mitchell Trubisky, and apparently it could be an open quarterback competition. I don't know if this was off the air or on the air, but I was like, no way. Well, we'll see about that. And
it's like people have forgotten what Mitchell Trubisky was like in Chicago.
That's what I'm saying.
The Giants haven't. They've seen him for the last 3 years.
sure, Brian Daboll knows that he can run the offense.
It was a Daniel Jones joke.
1,400, exactly 1,400 votes in the poll from 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. 48% of the respondents said Mitchell Trubisky is the better NFL quarterback. 38% said Daniel Jones. 14% chose C results, so they didn't have to pick either.
If Daniel Jones took a year off from quarterbacking and then we compared him to someone really bad, he would win.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, 100%. But like, I think it's fair that there is, they're basically the same guy statistically as passers. But Trubisky is slightly better in basically every category. So there's no argument that Jones is better than Trubisky. You can make an argument that Trubisky might be slightly better than Jones.
There's nothing better than having one bad quarterback than having two bad quarterbacks and letting them compete and rotate in and out of the lineup.
That's the problem with it. If they sign him, then there's no leash.
There was also a report, though, that the Saints could be interested in Daniel Jones.
Oh, really?
So maybe there's a way that they could send Daniel Jones to the Saints and send him a fourth round pick and they'd agree to pay the rest of his contract. I don't know.
Could be.
He's only got 1 year left, so he'll be a free agent, I think, after this year.
I'd like to see Jones play with a better offensive line and in a more aggressive offense.
We should talk about that, just not even about Daniel Jones, but the offensive line is, I think, the biggest excuse given to Daniel Jones, and it is terrible. But just keep in mind, 2 years ago, the Chargers had the worst offensive line in football, and Justin Herbert had the best rookie season ever, basically. And last year, the Bengals didn't have the worst offensive line in football. But
it was bad.
I think it was bottom five, according to PFF, and pass blocking. So, yeah, it matters to a degree. But also, that interception he threw against, was it the Chiefs on Monday Night Football? One of the worst plays I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. So it's not just the offensive line. I think that's pretty
clear. No. I'm not saying it is. I don't think Daniel Jones has a lot of redeemable qualities. Just said it, he might have a couple of good games. He might be even serviceable if he didn't have a, because I just think he's too jittery behind the line. A lot of quarterbacks are like that.
He's that when you play golf, and I don't do that anymore, but you hit like one out of every 10 strokes is amazing. Keeps you coming back. I could do that. Mm-hmm. That's Daniel Jones. It gives you these glimpses. Then the other nine, you're in the sand. All right, anyway. Yeah. Cleveland has...
Or like you hit a 350-yard drive and the ball's rolling and rolling and you think it's going to go in the hole and then it falls down into the bunker.
Right. That is... Yeah. That's why I don't golf anymore. I got so frustrated with that 350-yard drive set in the bunker. All right, Cleveland has had Derek Carr on its radar, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Let's see where Derek Carr ends up. The Tennessee Titans signed linebacker Harold Landry to a 5-year extension, $87.5 million. The Lions signed Josh Reynolds to a 2-year deal. Any fantasy relevance there?
Really happy for him.
Yeah, me too.
Not yet. Maybe one of your last picks in a best ball.
Pittsburgh is not interested in signing Deshaun Watson, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And he actually has a court date on Friday. So we might know a little bit more about his dynasty value or his 2022 value fairly soon.
Who tweeted yesterday that if the court date goes well, Deshaun Watson will be a Steeler shortly after? Because that was also out on Twitter yesterday.
Well, I will get ready
for a
Saturday.
Did you have anything on the
bonus pod?
Vikings selling everybody?
I've seen some of that.
No, I didn't have like that.
They want to do the rebuild thing and get Cousins off the books.
Dalvin was on the list too, which
bunch of defensive players as well.
It was the real Sean King.
Mm. Oh, for the Watson Steelers.
If hearing if things go well Friday, Deshaun Watson to the Steelers is happening soon after.
Mm.
Wow.
I don't know if I buy into that.
Okay, let's see what happens. There's some more news that doesn't really matter. So let's go to our emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I mean, nobody cares. This is some dynasty questions here. This one is from Niall. Sorry, I don't know. And I do that every time, and I always forget, and I'm very sorry. 14-team 20-man PPR Dynasty League, 3 receivers, 2 flex, 1 QB. I have the 1st and the 4th overall picks in the rookie draft. I will not pick again after that until 3.6. I also have the 2023 first-round pick of the absolute worst team in the league, and that is my only rookie pick next year. So, okay, he doesn't have a lot of picks, but he does have 1 and 4 in round 1 this year and presumably a very high first-round pick next year and a 3rd-round pick this year. He gives his roster, and he says, should I just keep 1 and 4 and take the best running back and wide receiver with those picks? Should I try to trade them for running back? What do you think? I have an offer of Brandon Ayuk and 10 overall for number 4. No.
Nope.
No.
Do not do that.
All right, so looking at his running
summary,
backs.
The summary on his team is that his receivers are pretty good. His running backs, he's got Antonio Gibson and then, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing great.
So I'm 100% as of right now taking Breece Hall and whichever of the top 3 wide receivers falls to 4.
Would you consider a second running back at 4? Is there another one that's good enough that'll be there at 4?
Is if Spiller
maybe
goes in the 2nd round to a good landing spot, then yes. But otherwise, it would probably be Garrett Wilson or Drake London or whoever wide receiver 3 ends up being.
Or a trade.
And I don't know if you feel so strongly about Breece Hall, but I assume that if Isaiah Spiller ends up in a much better destination, that you'd be cool taking him 1 overall. Did you say that or no?
I felt that way. And I have let the combine impact me just a little bit because Breece Hall tested better than I expected, and I already liked him as a player. So I've kind of gone a little bit further in the Breece Hall is 101. But yes, if Breece Hall fell to the 3rd round, then yes, it wouldn't be him at 101. But if he goes in the 2nd to a team that has 250 touches available, it's Breece Hall for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to this one from Michael. Hey, Liam, Carl, Ian, and Lip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's a good one. Shameless.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. What is it, Dave?
Oh.
I have no idea.
I just said it, but yeah. It's shameless.
Yes.
By the way, I crushed the Wordle today. I got it on my 3rd guess. And 12
teams. I got it on my 2nd.
No, you did not.
I did.
You bastard. 12-team standard FFPC Dynasty League. I gave up a 2023 second-round pick, and I got James Conner. I also was offered Kadarius Toney for my 2023 first-round pick.
Nope.
No.
What about the Conner one? 2023 second-round pick for Conner.
Totally fine with it. You're buying a running back for the next year to 2 years for a second-round pick. Hopefully your team doesn't stink in 2022 so that that pick isn't too early in the 2nd round of 2023.
I want to apologize. I shouldn't have said that I got it in 2. It's true. I did. But I'm a little bit irritable about Wordle every time you bring it up because I missed one day. And I'm at 96%.
Oh, no.
And Adam cheated.
Yeah.
So that he still shows 100%. And every time I think about the fact that Adam's at 100% and I'm not because he cheated, it makes me a little bit angry.
Now, how many letters did you have after your first guess?
I start with Rays, so that kind of helps.
Same word every day.
Yeah, yeah. I start with store.
Yeah, you didn't have quite the... I had a pretty good advantage.
I change my word every day. I don't know if that...
Yeah.
I always try and pick a word that might actually be their word. So having a word like store, like how often is it a basic word like that?
Rarely.
How often do you get it on the first guess?
I usually start with rupee. I usually start with rupee, but that one day I decided not. All right, this is from Mark. How do I not know this? Dear Billy, Doc, Dick, and Chavez. It's so baseball-y, isn't it? Billy, Doc, Dick, and Chavez. Well, I'm in a dynasty league. I have no true number one receiver. It's a 3-receiver super flex league, tight end premium with 2 flex spots. I have some guys that could develop into number one. Should I stand pat or try to trade for a true number one? He has DJ Moore, Gabriel Davis, Tyler Boyd, Crowder, Tim Patrick, Rondell Moore, KJ Osborne, Zay Jones, James Washington, and Amari Rodgers. do not think you have multiple players that could develop into a number one personally, but.
And I don't know if he's got many combinations of players that he could trade for a true number one. Like the best case is trading off Moore and Gabe Davis and seeing what you can get for those two together. But I don't know. It would have to be a really good number one receiver for me to part with both of those guys. I wonder if now's the time to try and move on from Tim Patrick because there's just so much excitement about the Broncos.
Yeah, DJ Moore and someone for a true number one. Would you guys do that?
It'd have to be.
Yes.
Would you do that for... I mean,
DK?
I don't think you can right now, right? Would you do that for AJ Brown? More in any of these guys for AJ Brown?
I'd probably do more in Gabe for AJ Brown.
I would try and make it Patrick instead of Gabe, but yeah.
Dave, I'm a little upset you didn't get the intro. I've never seen the movie, but I feel like you have. Billy, Doc, Dick, and Chavez. Scott Fish knows. Young Guns. Young Guns.
Never seen it.
Really?
That's didn't Bon Jovi do the soundtrack to that?
Oh yeah, Blaze of Glory. I don't know if did he do the whole soundtrack? Blaze of Glory is an awesome song. And I know it's from the Young Guns soundtrack, but Scott Fish, can you let me know before I sign off here? Let me know in the chat. That's Heath and Dave. I want to thank Jake Seeley at All In Kid. And thank you to all of you for watching and listening. And looking forward to many, many Mike Williams debates and a bonus pod on Deshaun. We'll have a bonus pod, I'm assuming, at some point this weekend. So thanks again, everybody. Have a great weekend. If we don't talk to you before Monday, big week of football coming up, big week of fantasy football coming up. And we will check you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.